The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game live from Circa. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Good. That was very sincere of you. You still losing weight? Before our eyes?
I hope so.
How often do you get on a scale?
You know, you and I have had this conversation before. I usually try to do, I do like once a week, once every 10 days, something like that.
Got to do it every day,
I want to see the results. I want to see it, Gil.
I'm a big everyday guy.
Yeah, you are. You told me that. That's smart.
You will learn what foods and at what time of day eating causes weight spike. Todd Wishnevi.
Hey, it makes a lot of sense. I get it.
Yeah.
Well, I also just like forget though. Like I wouldn't.
I could tell by the way you're like, yeah, I'm not doing that. On the show today, Jim Root, James Patrick Root from Three Man Weave, talk college hoops with us, conference tournaments, what he thinks about games today, including, of course, Alabama and Florida, the de facto game for a number one seed, perhaps. Tennis and golf bets, you know what that means, country clubbing, we got to do that as well.
That's right.
I'll do tennis, then we'll do a lot of golf a little later. Byron Lindekew will join us as well, talk Arnold Palmer. You've got bets too, right?
I got bets. Yeah, Byron's got bets. I like it. Like it. Everybody, big event. You got Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele's back, Rory. Looking forward to it.
JVT will join us. Jonathan Von Tobel talk NBA as the Warriors win again. They've lost once since Butler has been in the lineup. Twice since he's been acquired, but only once with him in the lineup. Warriors go on the road, beat the Knicks last night. Steph played, Kat did not. We'll get JVT's thoughts on that and beyond, of course, with the Lakers as the number two seed now in the West and the Warriors the sixth seed.
It's crazy.
Dub show. Let's go. And, of course, we'll do other things as well. Whatever leaps to mind. I want to start with tennis, though, because Indian Wells begins today. Tennis is de facto fifth major. And, by the way, if you want to deep dive into it, no pun intended, Drew Dinsick is the guest, along with Zach Cohen, our buddy Zach. So Drew and Zach and the Beating the Book podcast, Indian Wells, we did, I don't know how long it is, but it's over an hour. If you want to dive in here before the tournament starts, it's not only outrights, it's our quarterly bets. Zach and Drew, I'll let you go to the podcast for them. I will give you mine. I will give you all that I bet in terms of the outrights. I gave one yesterday, and this begins at around, 11 a.m. today Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern is when this begins. So we still got some time here, but the only outright I bet, hey, what a surprise. I bet Iga Swiatek at 4-1.
Yeah,
to win the ladies' side. By the way, let me just say this. I have no bets on the men's side outrights. None. I just, my numbers, so I have the data for everybody, right? I run the numbers on everything. And just on the men's side, Zach and Drew have them, and I get their plays. But it wasn't enough for me to make bets. But on the ladies' side, Iga to win it at 4-1. Her quarter is not easy. It's not terrible either, but it's not easy. She's won two out of the last three of these tournaments, the BNP Paribas Open. Belinda Bencic to win quarter number two. I mentioned this yesterday at 6-1. For those of you in Canada, got a couple Canadian listeners this morning who were listening on Game Plus who were saying, I can't speak, who were saying that Bet365 had Belinda Bencic to win Q2 at 9-1.
Whoa!
Here stateside, DK still has her at 5-1. I'd play that. I would not play the MGM price now at +350. I went ahead and these are all based on numbers. So if I look at my raw women's hard court numbers, I have Iga number one, Belinda Bencic number two, Sabalenka, the world number one, third, Osaka fourth, Pegula fifth, then Andreeva and Rybakina. So not only do I have Belinda Bencic at Q2, but Zach does this thing where he decides to take two players. He had two in Q2. I think he took Navarro, too. I did not. But I'm with him on Pegula and Osaka in Q3. I bet these at MGM yesterday. Osaka to win Q3 at 9-1. Pegula to win quarter number three at +550 as well, hoping that those two meet in the quarter number three in the third quarter final there. So I just thought both of those prices were outstanding, again, based on the numbers I just mentioned, how high I have both of them ranked in the raw tennis data. And then Iga to win Q4 at -105, which I thought was a great price. So those are the outrights I have pre-flop here in this tournament. I didn't do anything on the men's side. Just it was too cluttered Like Q3 was too cluttered to make a bet, and I just didn't feel like there was an opportunity there.
Which isn't completely odd for you, right?
No, I mean, not completely.
Usually leading into the women's side a little bit more.
You are a believer that I always lean into the women's side a little
bit. Yeah. Hey, it doesn't mean I think you're spending that much more time handicapping the women's side, but if the results show value on that versus the men's,
that
then bets are placed where they're placed.
I think you know this from golf.
Right, exactly. I think I'll be tailing you on a couple. The one when that jumped out to me when you sent it in was definitely that Iga quarter price.
Yep.
Minus 105, I mean,
it's not easy. She's got Noskova in there. She's got Muhova. She's got Jabeur. But, you know, this is a service. By the way, that's the other thing
Bedosa.
That Zach was great about. Oh, I don't know if Bedosa's playing or not. Her bag
is really?
Yeah. She's listed as playing, but we'll see what happens. She had to pull out the last tournament. Zach did a great job on the podcast yesterday. Our own Zach Cohen, Betting on X, part of the glue that holds this whole operation together. All of his work at VSiN.com. Zach was talking about he had man on the scene in the qualies. That the surface change isn't as big of a deal as we might make it out to be. So the ball might bounce a little less in terms of height, but it's kind of just as slow, if not perfectly as slow. So that's good news for those of us who bet tennis, those of us who watch tennis. The bottom line is Indian Wells must have gotten a grip to change this surface from these people, from this Lakehold people.
Lakehold. Oh man, what was the company again? I'll have to pull back up in case you're looking to invest. But the so will you be doing the same thing that I was doing last Thursday then today and be eagerly awaiting post-match quotes from people about how it played?
Yeah, but we've already gotten some of those. And they're all saying the same thing. They're all like, yeah, it's pretty much the same.
Okay.
They don't
okay.
notice the difference. Today is the only day there might be weather, but I do have four plays today. And again, for subscribers get these at VSiN.com/picks. I'm going to go ahead and give all the ones that I have today here for you. It is two on the ladies' side, two on the men's side. The first one, Renata Zarazua against Elisabetta Cocciaretto.
Well done.
Thanks. This is just really a fade of Cocciaretto, who's not been playing well. Plus 130 is too high, too long of a shot on Zarazua. I'm not a huge Zarazua fan, but that's a good price. Katie Vollinets, our old friend, Katie Vollinets, plus 123 against Ashlyn Kruger. The tennis hardos are going to be like, wow, you're taking Vollinets over Kruger. Kruger, the reason they would say that, by the way, Kruger, back in Abu Dhabi, you remember this tournament in Abu Dhabi a few tournaments ago, Kelly.
Obviously.
She took down Kessler, Kasatkina, Lila Fernandez, Noskova. She had a great tournament all the way to the final, and then Bencic took her out. But since then, she's lost to Kennan in Doha. She's lost to Ito in the qualies in Dubai. Vollinets loves this tournament. She beat Andreeva and Jabeur here last year. I'm taking Katie Vollinets, her old girl, plus 123. Famous here on the show for winning as big dogs many times. And then on the men's side, Luca Nardi, plus 139 versus Cam Norrie. This is probably the one I like the most of the bunch. Luca Nardi, you may remember as a lucky loser. You know what a lucky loser is? Lucky loser is when you lose in the qualifiers, but someone pulls out and you still get the main draw. They should probably come up with a better term than lucky loser.
Yeah.
But he beat Djokovic last year here as a lucky loser.
Okay.
Cam Norrie won this tournament in 2021 after the pandemic when they moved the tournament to the fall. But Cam Norrie has not played well. I think he's been knocked out first round three out of his last six tournaments. Luca Nardi is the play here at plus 139. That's one I love here today. And then finally, Tristan Boyer, even money against Alexander Vukic. Not much to say here other than I think he's just the better all-around player. Even money was a good play. These are all within range of playing, by the way. All of these within range. So none of these prices have gotten out of whack. So Zarazua and Vollinets on the ladies' side, Nardi and Boyer on the men's.
I like it.
You like it?
Nardi and Boyer, I feel like those are, you just broke down the whole Nardi history, but those are newer names for me, Gil. Newer names for me.
Yeah, this is the early part of the first round here. None of the big names are playing today, except for Osaka, I think, is the only big name. And they, you know, this is one of these, it's a pretentious tournament where they want you to know that they're not like a normal tournament, but they're not quite a slam, so it's a week and a half.
I'm gonna guess that you're able to find a little bit more value early in these tournaments, too?
It varies.
Okay.
Sometimes yes, sometimes no. Because if somebody really, like, let's take Laszlo Djere, we're coming off the Laszlo Djere outright at plus 330 before the quarterfinals in Santiago. Oftentimes, you can get value late in tournaments because you will have a player like that who is not known like the others. He's Serbian. The South American players are known to be great on clay. That's how they grew up, right? So the Sarundalos, get deep in the weeds here before we get to college hoops, the Sarundalos and the Echeverries and the Baezes of the world, right? The Navones of the world. You know these guys.
Oh, yeah, they are all the time.
They're known to be great clay players. So in the market, in the tennis market, they play they a guy bad. Like Jerry. They're like, ah, oh, they'll kill Jerry. And he's always a dog, right? But if you have access to the data, if you're actually running the numbers, Jerry's numbers at least on a short-term basis spike massively. And so that's why he was great value. All of these, by the way, based on data. So in each of these cases, that's why it leads me to plays, not just making stuff off the top of your head. There were a couple that I got close to but didn't pull the trigger on. And then do you do that thing where you like think about betting something but you don't, and then you actively root against it just so you don't have self-loathing?
Oh, of course, yes. Yeah.
100%
Yes, the last golf right outright who's left off the list, I am actively rooting against them the entire turn.
Yes. So there's a couple matches here today where I'm like, please don't manifest.
I hope Drew and Zach help you with this too, but I love talking to Matt and Wes through golf bets. Like, it is a therapeutic process doing the podcast for me.
Oh,
because
it's fantastic.
Like Michael Kim, I ended up on last week for the Honda, and he got close up the leaderboard and win. But, like, you know, Matt talked me into it. He was one of the guys I was just about to leave off. Matt helped talk me into him. So it's a good process.
I think it's almost on those podcasts, it's almost like, wow, your case is so good. I'm thinking about it very strongly. And then you get off the podcast, and some of them you like, some of you, I'm not going to go that crazy. It's great. Beating the Book podcast, Indian Wells. Check it out. But don't check it out now because we got college basketball next with Jim Root.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? I know you do. Start with smarter insights. Right now you can check out articles like the Ohio Valley Big South Summit Northeast Conference Tournament Previews, Greg Peterson's Best Bets in College Basketball, and Wes Reynolds' Arnold Palmer Invitational Preview. Later today you can check out Zach Cohen's Best Bets in the NBA, Jonathan Davis's NHL Best Bets, and Steve Mackinnon's NBA Analytics Report. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for as little as $9.99. Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. Skill Alexander, this is Kelly Bidlin. College basketball tournaments, not quite in full swing because obviously the big conferences begin next week. But we got double digits worth happening now. Jim Root joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Second Chance Points. That's with the number 2. And of course, he's 1/3. That's the math. He may have a different percentage on this, but 1/3, we'll call it, of the 3-man weave crew. How you doing, Jim?
I'm good. Yeah, we're just about to hit the big run here of college hoops. I was saying to you guys right before we got on there, we got daytime basketball in the Big South tomorrow.
Yes.
So it really starts to feel like championship week in like March.
It is such an awesome time of year. It never fails, right? Like, this is the March Madness itself never disappoints. And so that's why it is a part of Americana. We love it so much. Let me just ask you this right off the top, since we go macro here. How many teams, in your opinion, legitimately can win the national title?
Ooh, boy, that is a good question. Looking down the list, I mean, I'd say somewhere in the neighborhood of 10-ish. I mean, I think there's a really clear top tier with like the top 6. The team's all really in contention for 1 seeds right now, for the SEC plus Houston plus Duke. But I think somebody like Texas Tech could sneak in there. I think maybe Iowa State at peak form, although last night certainly not a good indicator for them. And then, you know, maybe you get somebody that jumps up into that tier. But I think there's been kind of a separation at the top this year, so it's definitely top heavy.
Alabama, Florida tonight. I know you don't have a play on this necessarily, but I want to ask you about it, though. Is this a de facto game for the number 1 seed, do you believe?
It's definitely leg up. There's still, you know, both of them have got a big game on over the weekend, and the SEC tournament could maybe have smaller implications. I don't think the committee puts that much weight in the conference tournaments because they want to have their pencils down, but it's pretty close. It would definitely be the driver's seat, the winner, and would probably be sitting in it for bracket projections for now. But I, by the way, I do lean I lean Florida in that game. Golden's covered every game against Nate Oates since he arrived at Florida, which I think has some merit to it. Swept him or won 2 out of 3 last year. Just a lot more physical in the paint. They guarded Sears fairly well because they know he really wants to go left. I think Florida is going to be in that game, and I like getting a possession on the spread.
Since I have a future on Alabama, let me just ask about them. That's the only team I have one on. Of the contenders, got that a long time ago, closer to the end of last season to the beginning of this, because I have some Alabama ties here. But I'm just curious. Around a 64 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, Sweet 16 2 years ago, Final Four last year. I think you understand the math, dividing by 4 every time. That would mean they would win it all here. Do you really believe, right, with that defense and lack thereof is what I'm referring to? Do you really believe when you say there's 10 teams, I'm sure you're including them? Do you see that as a legitimate possibility? Could they really run the table? And you're right, they're right in the middle of a gauntlet now, a Tennessee, Florida, Auburn gauntlet before the SEC tournament. What would you prefer? If you're an Alabama backer, would you prefer that they go deep in an SEC tournament? I guess this applies to all teams that are entering the SEC tournament. Do you prefer they go deep? Do you almost wish they go out early? How would you play it?
I'd probably lean towards going out early. If I'm a team that's pretty well clinched in terms of seed, like they are, I mean, they're going to be one of the top 6 seeds almost inevitably. So at that point, if there's nothing really to gain on a run through the tournament, somebody else further down the bracket, like say my Missouri Tigers, could really rise up a couple seed lines if they go on a run. But Alabama, yeah, that's a team that I think benefited last year from losing early in the SEC tournament, being a little fresher, kind of getting a reset as they went into the tournament. Now that run last year, I don't know, I wouldn't call it flawless. I think shot quality graded all their games as losses, narrowly, of course, but fortune does matter in March. I think they're better enough defensively that they can win the title this year because the offense is explosive. Sears is looking like first team All-American Mark Sears once again. And they do have, like, I love Diabate as a role piece. I think Youngblood's going to make an impact in a March game. He's a great shooter. I think they can get there, and they're among that tier. But yeah, I'd put them a little less than the really apex group of Houston, Duke, and Auburn.
This is a terrible question to ask, but if I made you make a bet now on an outright, what's the value? What's the number? What team? Florida plus 950, probably.
Maybe Florida, maybe Texas Tech. I sit here as just a firm believer, or maybe a foolish believer in Grant McCaslin's team, but I think the talent level is really high and they've had some ebbs and flows with some injuries, and he's just a fantastic coach. Beat Purdue with North Texas a couple of years ago. I know they lost in the first round last year at Texas Tech, but they've got guards, they've got big men, they can play big, they can play small. So that would probably be my value play up there. Otherwise, it'd be Houston. I think I saw 8-1 up there.
And we're not worried about Auburn losing last night to A&M.
No. I think they celebrated their outright SEC title Saturday and even into Sunday. And then they got desperate Texas A&M off 4 losses, who's one of the most physical bullies in the sport. Kind of pushed him around a little, hit him in the mouth. I'm not changing my opinion on either of those two teams after that.
All right. I want to ask you about conference tournament outrights here momentarily, but let's get your 3 plays, a 3-pack of plays tonight in college hoops from you.
Yes. So we'll start off with NC State, number 700 on the betting board, plus 2.5. Going to be honest, this is mostly a fade of Pitt. I think Pitt is really circling the drain right now. Some of my recent numbers I look at make NC State favored by 3 or so in this game, just because of how poorly Pitt's been playing. Maybe you get a resurgent Panthers in the ACC tournament where they feel like, hey, this is our reset. We know things went down the drain late in the year, but at this point, it's really hard to trust them. They've been poor again and again down the stretch. Now they go on the road. NC State's at least shown a little life. They beat Wake Forest to kind of submarine the Demon Deacons' at-large hopes. I think the Wolfpack can take care of Pitt there because Pitt's just on their last legs.
All right. I love that you give a rotation number 700 once again on NC State, catching the points. 702, sir. You have a total play.
Yes. UMass and St. Bonaventure, the under 702, as you mentioned. UMass was kind of crazy paced to start A-10. They were really zipping up and down. Lately, they have played a lot slower. Some of that's their competition. But if it is their competition, that matters here because St. Bonaventure is one of the 20 slowest teams in the country. They want to play in the half court. They've got a really stout interior defense. I think this tempo is going to be really controlled by St. Bonaventure at home in Olean, and they're going to keep this in the half court. Their defense is strong enough, and UMass can't really shoot from the perimeter, so you don't have that risk of a bunch of threes racking up here. So under 139, recent numbers that I use make this much lower. So big, big lean there, and I'm betting the under UMass and Bonnies.
All right, and the third one, you are laying the wood with Louisville. Is Louisville among the 10 teams that you sort of alluded to before that could win it all, or are they not in that group?
No, they're actually probably in the NCAA tournament team. I'm a little more fading, just really high variance outcomes because of how many threes they take. So against like maybe a more solid, defensively sound underdog, I could see them having trouble, and they haven't played a team with a pulse in like a month and a half in the ACC. That could be a real problem for them, just having to beat up on a bunch of sub 100 teams. This is another sub 100 team, Cal, and it's a spot I really like where you get the West Coast team coming all the way across the country in what I call the jet lag game, west to east. I think Cal's not going to be very sharp in this one. Louisville, even if they're not all over them early, can extend late, kind of get into the legs of Cal. And I kind of lean Notre Dame for the same reason. You got Stanford coming all the way across the country to them, but more confident in Louisville. So that's the one I went with here for one of my three picks.
Yeah, cross country. What are you talking about? Cal's in the ACC. What are you?
Historical rivalry.
Yeah,
that's right.
When Louisville plays Cal, throw the records out the window. What is the, before we go to break, because we'll save your conference tournament plays here for the after the break. You are known to have a wide portfolio of futures plays. What is the one you are holding right now that you sort of smile internally the most about?
Yeah, I grinned when you said you just had Alabama because I was like, what's that like? Because I've got just way too many, way, way too many in the portfolio. Favorite one right now is probably Florida 100-1 or Auburn 40-1. So those are two swings from earlier in the season. I got Auburn right after Jani Broome returned, and Florida was a preseason one where I just kind of liked them. I thought they had some upside, and that's gone even better than I could have imagined. So those two are sitting in really – wait, excuse me. Florida's not 100-1. That's the wager amount.
I was gonna say.
The odds are 70 and 60-1.
That's still great.
Two different bets there.
Just rank them real quick. Which are the coaches that will make a difference for you in your selections here? Todd Golden,
Kelvin Sampson.
Yeah,
Kelvin Sampson for sure. Grant McCaslin, Texas Tech. Golden and Pearl are probably in the tier below that, which is funny because they've worked together. But Sampson and McCaslin are my favorite, too.
Sampson and McCaslin. Did not expect that. All right, more with Jim Root on the other side. Conference tournaments abound. His plays in some of these outrights for these tournaments this week. The ones that are up, it's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Our VSiN baseball betting guide is out. You got to get it. Adam Burke's finest work. He basically authored the whole thing, except for Jensen's piece in there.
Mm-hmm.
Jensen Lewis, former MLB pitcher and, of course, co-host of By the Books here at VSiN. He dives into players' perspective on evaluating pitchers. Everything else is Adam. Market analysis for MVP, Cy Young, expert tips how to bet baseball, including a stats glossary to help you break down key analytics. From advanced metrics to sharp betting angles, the VSiN MLB betting guide, your ultimate playbook for the season. Avoid strikeouts at the sportsbook. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $9.99. Get your copy of the MLB betting guide today. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. You got 30 team previews in there, Kelly, all of them. Jensen on handicapping pitchers, stat glossary, baseball betting tips, breakdown of World Series odds, player futures market, including Cy Young and MVP. We got Paul Swarer coming on the show today, don't
That's
we?
Right. Yeah, we do. In a half hour. Yeah, I got a lot of homework to do for a baseball betting guide still.
Opening day in 12 days in Tokyo, Dodgers and Cubs.
Some NFL news real quick. Gardner Minshew to be released by the Raiders. What was your favorite moment of the Gardner Minshew era in Las Vegas?
Oh, that time that he got sacked and fumbled. You remember.
I want to say which one, but like, because I'm sure there were
you remember
many,
it.
But I don't know that.
Vivid in my memory. We got tweets of Beating the Book. Joe C714. Joe's been hanging out at Indian Wells already. Says, Gil, you probably already know this. Maybe you don't, but try to make it out to Indian Wells when qualifying starts. All free games and can see all the open practices. He's been sending pictures. Just glorious. I would, Joe, but I'm doing a show, so I can't.
That's a golf thing, too. Like, if you're like go to a practice round instead of like the first round or the second round. Like you can see these guys be a lot looser. There's not like a billion fans out there for you to fight through. Like if you actually want to see them, you know, the players.
Indian Wells has a field, a grass field in the middle of all the courts where all the players are working out and like kicking a soccer ball and all kinds of things. Yeah, you're like looking at his like there's an animal in a zoo. It's outstanding.
I thought you were gonna say you could go up and like talk to them or like, yeah, or,
well, you could try,
but you were, you know, you're boxed out. You're boxed out.
I'd be like, hey, Amanda. Michael Harris at Gil, if you're looking for a new documentary to watch, check out The Octopus Murders on Netflix. It's bananas. I think I've seen The Octopus Murders. Can I say this about a show on HBO, though? Y'all familiar with White Lotus?
Yeah,
White Lotus.
I watched it.
White Lotus seasons 1 and 2, spectacular. If you didn't like those, I don't know what to tell you. Season 3, slow.
This is what you and Brian Ortega said yesterday. I said, Ortega, you let me know then when it starts heating up, because then I'll actually start watching it.
Three episodes, they're still building. I'm like, okay, anytime now.
Okay, I'm glad for the White Lotus update. Did you really just move on from Octopus Murders that quickly, though? Like, what is, I mean...
I can't, it's...
Is someone murdering octopi? Octopi?
No.
Or are
they using
octopi to murder people?
I saw it a long time ago. I can't remember the details, but it's in California, I think, primarily. It's a whole thing. Anyway.
Got me hooked on that one.
No, I'm sorry. I didn't do a better
review. Name got hooked on that one.
It's fantastic, though. Yeet Ninja. Every time I hear Are We Sure segment, I can't help but hear Joe Pesci from My Cousin Vinny yelling at the witness in the court scene. Perhaps a soundbite from the movie could be in play.
That's a good idea. That is a good idea.
Perhaps a soundbite from the movie could be in play in the future. Love the show. Appreciate you. Appreciate you. Thank you very much. JC Gabagool. Weight spike. Look out. He's predicting a weight spike from you? Is that what's happening?
Mm.
Stringfellow Hawk, yeah, Bet365 has Bencic at 9-1 and Osaka at 16-1 in that quarter, and he's in North Carolina. Joe C. also said Bedosa pulled out of the Eisenhower exhibition last night as well, so she, I don't know what's going on with her. Mark Descartes, Boyer not on the pick page, the other three are. 3 Jack, Gil, Boyer didn't make the site, you should threaten a strike if management isn't going to treat tennis bets equally. I'm telling you, man, it's all rigged against tennis. Jim Root, kind enough to join us here for a second segment. Jimmy, let me just say that. By the way, do people call you Jimmy? James? Jim? What do they call you? James Patrick? What do they call you?
Yeah, Jimmy, James, Jimmer. My nieces call me Uncle Jimmer, so that's always an option.
What do you prefer? What's your favorite of the bunch?
I don't really have a preference, just not James. That one doesn't sit well with me.
Oh, wow. Okay.
What about James Patrick?
James Patrick.
No, that one I love. That one I love. Only said with an Irish accent.
Okay. By the way, let me just say this. I was very surprised that you did not have Golden in your top tier, and I was also surprised that you didn't have Nate Oates in your top tier of coaches.
Yeah, Nate Oates didn't really cover himself in glory in that final minute at Tennessee. Maybe I'm unfairly punishing him for that.
Oh, that was brutal. By the way, what were the odds on them losing that in regulation? It had to be off the charts at that moment if there was a line. Incredible. Yeah. Well, there wasn't one for regulation, obviously. Okay, let's go to conference tournaments. And I'll throw it out to you first. Well, let me ask you about one, and then you can sort of riff on which ones you want to talk about. But I talked about this yesterday briefly with Will Hill when he was on the Missouri Valley, where Drake is a -110 favorite in this. He threw out a stat, though, yesterday that I think is obviously huge with them. 5-0 in overtime. If they don't, they lost 4 games all year. If they lose a game here, they might be gone completely. Is there a bet in this tournament besides Drake?
Yeah, I like Bradley. I think Drake plays too slow and methodical. I'm just worried that leaves them prone to upset. And yeah, as you mentioned, they've gone to OT, including against the worst team in the conference. They needed OT twice to beat Missouri State. So as much as I love Drake, and I do hope they get in if they lose in the title game, I mean, they'd have, 30 wins or something like that. They'd be right up there. But I like Bradley. They won at Drake. They're a really veteran team. They're pretty stout on both ends. Got a big time shot maker lead guard in Duke Dean as kind of their veteran guy. And Brian Wardle's won this event a couple times before. I think he's familiar with what it takes. So I think Bradley is my bet there. I'm in Illinois, so technically I can't bet that. Don't tell the authorities. But I like Bradley.
We won't mention it. The floor is yours. Pardon me. Sunbelt, Ohio Valley, Big South, Summit, West Coast Conference, Patriot League, Atlantic Sundown to the semis, which resumes tomorrow, Horizon League, Southern Conference, and the Big Sky. Oh, and the Southland. I forgot about the Southland. Anything. Where are we going to go there?
Oh, yeah. I'll start in the Horizon. I'll start with a long shot team that I have a future in on already and has been bet down. At one point, Northern Kentucky was 43-1 at FanDuel. They're down to 20 right now, what I'm looking at. But I still like the draw. They've been playing really well over the last month. The second best team in the Horizon, 7-1. They have been awesome in this event. They've been in the title game for the last 6 years. They've got veteran guards. Their quarterfinal matchup is Cleveland State, who is reeling down the stretch. They lost 5 of 7 to basically blow the number one seed in this tournament. So you factor in this tricky zone that NKU plays, a veteran team, a coach who has been there and done that in this tournament. I think NKU is going to end up being really good value. If they can make it to the semis, it's all on a neutral floor. And then it's just a toss up. And this tournament's always been kind of mayhem. So Northern Kentucky's one I definitely recommend.
28-1 at DraftKings, by the way.
There we go. That's why we shop around. I love it. I like a couple of favorites in the Big South and the NEC. I actually ended up parlaying Central Connecticut and High Point. I think both those two teams take care of business. That gets you north of even odds or just about. So I like that one. In the Big Sky, I'm a Montana guy there. They lost in overtime during the season's final week, last weekend at Portland State, that cost them the number one seed. But they've been by far the best team in the league over the last month. Northern Colorado's had some really fortunate shooting splits in that time, which helped them get the one seed. I think Montana's going to assert themselves as the best team. They were the team I liked most coming into the season, and I think they end up getting the win there. Somewhere around plus 300, if you shop around, is what you're looking at there. Another potential long shot that I actually haven't got in yet, but I will as soon as the segment ends. In the America East, UMass Lowell, a team that was maybe the preseason favorite. It just was snake bitten all the regular season. They lost so many games by 1 point or 2 point or 3 points, and they're rock solid. They've got the talent to compete with anybody in this conference. Bryant, Vermont is kind of a down year. Their best player just got hurt, Shamir Bogues, so I'm not really that interested in Vermont. I think UMass Lowell is going to be a decent underdog play there, somewhere around 20-1. As a team that could make a run. Bryant's the best team, but at the odds, UMass Lowell definitely intrigues me. Let's see, what else? I kind of like Gonzaga in the WCC. Obviously, the price isn't great, but they're already in the semis. They've dominated the two teams that they would likely play in that semifinal, and I think they get it done against St. Mary's. The shooting splits in the first two matchups between Gonzaga and the Gales were heavily tilted towards St. Mary's. So I still think Gonzaga ends up getting a win in the rubber match. And I'll close it out in the Summit. Conference, it's kind of wonky because the number two seed St. Thomas can't make the NCAA tournament. So if they win it, the one seed Omaha gets the title. But I think Omaha is still decent value. The one seed, around 5-1, wherever you look, they have been the best team in the conference for a month. And it seems like people are still skeptical of them because of their non-conference performance that's weighing down their analytics. The big concern is if it's Omaha versus St. Thomas in the title game, how engaged is Omaha? Yeah. Because they will have already clinched the tourney bid. So that concerns me for sure. But I still like their value if they end up getting South Dakota State instead or a Cinderella. It's the one seed that's played the best, and you're getting them 5-1 because of some stuff that happened in November and December. That doesn't worry me.
Real quick before you go back to the WCC for a second, but when you project forward to March Madness, Gonzaga and St. Mary's, where historically among Gonzaga St. Mary's teams do you project these two versions?
St. Mary's is probably a top 3-5 version of that team. It's Gonzaga. I know they're really high rated in KenPom, but I put them like eighth of Mark Few's teams. They're missing some juice on defense.
Yeah, I think I agree with you on St. Mary's. Looks like a good iteration of them. Jim, thank you. Go make your bets, man. Appreciate it.
Will do. All right, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
JVT next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, live from Circa, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander, Kelly Billen. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Charles in Connecticut. Now, I don't know what to do about White Lotus. Enjoyed season one. Thought season two lost lots of its mojo, but was okay. Now Will likes season three. Gil says it's slow.
Ooh.
This is what happens when I get TV recommendations from sports betting experts. I'm just saying, it's slow to develop. Let's put it that way.
Hey,
a lot of setting up.
You can always contact Ryan Ortega on Twitter. He's got hot takes right now. Hot takes. Chance. I forgot what it was yesterday.
That's right. He goes, what did he say? He goes, I don't want to be controversial, he said, but Conan O'Brien was good. John Mulaney would have been better.
It was very much in the tone of my Chris Singleton tweet. It was the, I'm sorry.
Chance Copperpot, Octopus Murders is phenomenal. It's about government conspiracy theories and stuff, but it's really well done. Octopus, because of all the connected tentacles in the story. That's right. Watch it, Kelly.
Well, that's not nearly as fun. That sounds like I'm going to learn something.
Matt F. is the sports better. He's the fifth person to tell me that Bet365 has ridiculous numbers in the quarter. So if you have Bet365, go at it. And Jamie Leva, is the infield at Indian Wells like a tennis petting zoo? Basically, can you buy snacks to try and lure your favorite tennis player over for a chat and a rub? I can't unsee this now. Have a great day, gentlemen. Yes, I'm like Iga stalking.
Here's some animal crackers. Would you like some?
The worst is when you realize you're in your 50s when you do this. I'm like, I should probably let the kids get in front of me.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
Jonathan Von Tobel joins us, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. We don't know where he is, but he is driving because he's on daddy duty this morning. How you doing, JVT?
I'm good. I would say that since you guys were talking about television, I am a simpleton. I just started season 3 of Reacher on Amazon. I'm a big Reacher guy, so I would recommend that as well. If you like simple action and killing people and whatnot.
Yeah, see, that's more up my alley.
If you like killing people.
Yeah, I think I made it through like episode 2 of that like a year ago, JVT. It was pretty good, though. I don't know why I left it off. I didn't finish it.
John, I'm gonna start with a question that I ask Kelly once a week. And I'm curious what your answer is. I will reveal his answer after you give yours, which is, if I come to you from the future and the Thunder don't win the Western Conference, the team that did is...
Kelly's answer was the Clippers. I was watching. I would say, so I've actually been asked this question in different versions a couple of times, and my answer has always been the same, which is, I honestly believe, throw 6 teams in a hat, Gil, and pull one out, and I would say, sure, that team. Like, I think the rest of the Western Conference is all just this mishmash of teams that are very similar to one another in terms of rating and where they're on a neutral court. I don't think there's that much separating some of these teams, like the Los Angeles Lakers, now the Golden State Warriors, the Denver Nuggets. I guess if I were to be forced to select one, I would pick the Denver Nuggets because they have the power of Nikola Jokic. Jamal Murray is starting to turn things around. They're starting to look a little bit like the team that made a run to the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. And I think by default, because they've done it, I would select them. But I really don't think that there's a massive difference from these squads. And I do give Kelly very much a pat on the back for believing in a Clippers squad that has looked lost here the last few weeks.
Well, and you are the perennial Clippers guy. So from you, that means something.
Oh, yeah. JVT would never agree with any of my Clippers hot takes. That's when I knew I was really out on an island. To be fair, it was the same question, JVT. I agree with you. There's a bunch of teams bunched up together, and any of them could come out of there.
Well, and I'll just say with the Clippers, I think there is like a potential threat there with the way they play defense. And I think that was part of your logic, Kelly. And I think right now it's hard not to be pessimistic only because, like, clearly Ty Lue was working some stuff out. Like, Bogdan Bogdanovic, I think Zach and Kelly get angry tweets about Bogdan Bogdanovic from me, like, you know, once a week because they're clearly trying to let him work out of this funk because he hasn't played basketball for a while. Ben Simmons has been injured. Derrick Jones has been injured. Norm Powell has been injured. So they've actually been low-key shorthanded, and that has led to them playing lineups that we haven't really seen from them before, and that has led to a really disjointed stretch from them. Harden's having a terribly inefficient season, and so those are the reasons why I think that holds them back. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Clippers win a playoff series, but I find it hard to believe, given what I'm seeing here, that this team's going to be firing on all cylinders by the time we get to the postseason.
So that was what I was kind of trying to establish. It's not every – I don't know if it's 60, although you said 60, but I guess let me phrase it this way. So you do not believe the Clippers or, say, the Rockets could necessarily be the answer to that question?
No, and for the Rockets, I just, even though we, you know, humans and I did this last week, I did like our pretender contender blind resumes, and I just simply whittled it down to your record versus top 10 teams in net rating, offensive rating, and defensive rating against those opponents. And the Rockets actually checked a lot of boxes. I think they were like 16-5 at the time against teams with top 10 net rating. They were top 10 in both offensive and defensive efficiency. But I do think there's a difference in playing a best of 7 series where teams are game planning specifically to take away some of your issue or some of your strengths and pick at some of your weaknesses. And I do think one of the biggest weaknesses for Houston is going to be, like, I don't know if they're really going to be a good half-court offense when you get to a best-of-seven series and teams can really go after you. Like, when you're really reliant on an Amen Thompson, who's been great, and, of course, Green, I don't know if there's really that much there. And then you're really going to be able to have to go some of these weaknesses when you're going after mismatches in playoff basketball. And I think that ultimately holds them back.
So with Norman Powell starting to fall apart here, I will change my answer to this. I will change the answer.
We have a change of answers.
And because JVT's on, I'm going to go with the Los Angeles Lakers. That's where I'm going to pivot to.
Very, very stepping out on a limb answer.
I mean, I think that you're only allowed to do that, Kelly.
That's right.
Not mention the Golden State Warriors. Very upsetting for me.
I think, by the way, I think they can be. Not
totally.
To cut you off, but like they've looked great. We should give them some credit. Gil, I don't know if you think this is fair or not. I know Lakers fans don't. I would just like a larger sample size from what we've seen
sure.
from them
for
so
sure.
far. But I think they have looked very solid in the short sample size we've seen.
Absolutely. Before we get to your plays, if you have any today, I do think it is time we had a more serious, and maybe you've had them on in your end on prime time. But this is, like, can we have a serious, broad conversation about the Cavaliers? Like, they should really be treated more seriously by the casual fan, shouldn't they? Like, this is,
so
they're legit, right?
Yes. It's funny you say that. So there's a couple of things. First off, I like to tease Zach Cohen since the beginning of the year. I've called myself the Cavs truther in that, like, they are a much bigger threat than I think people are giving them credit for, especially now that they have DeAndre Hunter. And so every Monday on primetime, I do my, like, S-tier playoff rankings. And in the S tier, added this week after the comeback against the Celtics, was the Cleveland Cavaliers. They have three teams who I believe are true, tried and true contenders for a championship. And Cleveland's it. Like, they have Donovan Mitchell has absolutely torched the Boston Celtics. He's averaging 35 points against them in four games. They've earned a season split with them. They have a season split with the Oklahoma City Thunder. This is a team that I think that we're going to look back on and watch them push Boston in an Eastern Conference Finals, potentially win that thing. And a lot of people are going to go, we didn't see this coming, when we should have seen it coming the whole time. They have lineup versatility. They're well coached. I completely agree with you.
Okay, so what you're saying is Oakland, Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma, Boston, Cleveland, in whatever order, that's the top tier. Those are the three legit contenders.
That is it.
And it's weird to say this about a team that's 43-18 because Boston, you know, the third best record in the NBA. But I mentioned this in some form the other day. Do you feel like they can just easily flip the proverbial switch, as people seem to think?
I think they can to an extent. I mean, I also think we should be fair and realize that guys have been in and out of the lineup, right? Like, Drew Holiday's got that, like, finger injury that's caused him to miss some time. In fact, he wasn't on the floor in that loss to the Cavaliers. You know, we've seen guys dip sometimes out of the lineup. I think Brown missed a little bit of time as well, if I remember correctly. So I think that it's fair to ask them of that because I don't think they've been fully healthy. And we've seen them kind of turn it on here, right? I mean, once we got to right before the All-Star break and heading in and out of it, we saw them turn it up. I think they won like 7 out of 8 games or 8 out of 9, whatever it was, before they lost that game to the Detroit Pistons, who caught them on the second leg of back-to-back. So I would say yes. I think this team can do what we're asking them to do.
Okay. Are the Lakers the fourth best or are the Nuggets the fourth best?
I would say the Nuggets. So in the order that I had, the Nuggets were 4 and the Lakers were 5. I think the Lakers deserve credit for what they've done. I think if you pick apart the teams that they have beat, what is it, the Jazz twice, or the teams they played, the Jazz twice, the Hornets, Clippers twice, there's a lot of lesser offensive teams, but they do have a win over Denver under their belt, and they deserve credit for that. Still have questions how effective the defense can be, and given that we know what the Nuggets are, we've seen them do it before, to me, that gives them the benefit of the doubt if we're stacking them up as contender status.
Who you got tonight?
So really nothing. There was one spot, and you guys give me the injury update or if we have one yet. Memphis is playing host to Oklahoma City. If you guys remember about a month ago, a little less, OKC rolled into Memphis. It was a terrible spot. It was third game of 4 nights, second leg of a back-to-back. Memphis was off for 2 days, and the Grizzlies got rolled. Like, the Thunder went in there, swatted them away like a fly. I think if we're going to get John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. out there tonight, this is going to be a really focused Grizzlies squad that's going to be ready for Oklahoma City. I don't know about the game, but I think first half, trying to catch this Thunder team that's been in some dogfights here in the last, like, week and a half. The Timberwolves games, the Nets game, the Rockets the other day. I think the Grizzlies will have something for them here in that first half if they're healthy.
Jaw questionable. I believe the Jaren Jackson Jr. news came down. He will be week to week with that ankle.
Ooh, I missed that. All right.
Week to week with the ankle. Hey, listen, John, go take care of the kids before you go. I just want to say, I speak on behalf of Kelly and me, I hope you and Wet Willie Colon can work things out on Twitter.
I mean, as long as, look, I have to say the Lakers are the best team. They're better than the Thunder. They're better than the Celtics. And I have crowned them the champion.
we like you both. I don't know why there's so much conflict there. It's very strange.
Really heated up
you
quick.
Really
wow.
Got him worked up. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
At me, JVT, is where you can find John. On the old Twitter machine. Always a pleasure to have him on. Baseball, Paul Sporer on the other side. Some more season longs, what he's thinking. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.